This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Buster only going to join us here in just a couple of seconds.
Can we didn't do it before. But yeah. Can we get the proper? It's too late.
What?
We got to get the Buster what it is now.
We have
to bring him in with the Buster what it is right now. Because he knows everything. That is everything about baseball. We have an array of questions. We haven't had him since baseball season started.
True.
We have a lot to ask him, man.
Been a minute since
Pete
Alonso
putting his stake in the ground, saying, I am better than Aaron Judge. And guess what? I'm built to last. Oh, I can't wait to talk to Buster. I love me some Buster.
Buster joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline.
He's here?
Yes,
he keeps
is.
It Rizzio.
And Buster, is your head spinning right now? Because Bart is just jacked up on Mountain Dew today. So I hope you're ready for the questions.
I couldn't tell. And I funny story, there's a person, you know, when you do SportsCenter, one of the people who adjust audio is a wonderful person named Earl, who I've actually never met in person. But he goes, you know, every time I come on, he goes, bus a bus. And then he's like, you got to say what it is when you come back to me. So that's what we do, our routine now for 5 years.
Listen, when your name is synonymous with keeping it Rizzo, you take the gray out, no sugar coat. And I tell you what, Alan has something to ask you right off the bat.
Oh, you want me to go
because we had Pete Alonso on. So yes. I need to know.
Did you happen to hear that interview that we had with Pete Alonso when we asked? Well, Bart kind
of
set it up.
Every day.
He said to Pete Alonso, just to get me in trouble, he's like, you know, Alan thinks, you know, he's more of a Yankees fan, but I said that you are the better player, Pete Alonso, than Aaron Judge in New York. And I don't know if you – did you hear Pete's response? I can give you a paraphrase if you didn't.
I did not hear it.
Okay, so his response, which I'm staring at my page to see if I happen to have, but I don't. His response was basically that I'm there for my team. I grind it out. I'm available. You know,
I'm built to last.
Built to last.
He said he's built to last.
He never said anything about Aaron Judge specifically, but he used those phrases in his response. What do you think of that?
Well, it's funny because there is an ongoing conversation in front offices because everyone, and look, no one questions Aaron Judge's work ethic, his desire to play. Nobody questions that. I want to make this absolutely clear. But there has been sort of this undercurrent of conversation of, you know what, maybe it's not so good to be the biggest position player in the history of baseball at 6'7", 282. You know, maybe that, that person, if you're that big in baseball, maybe it's just something that's not going to last. And Pete is not a small person, but, I mean, we've seen a lot of ball players who are built that way, you know, 6'3", 235, or whatever he is, versus what Aaron is. It's interesting, but I've had that conversation about Judge and Stanton with a lot of people last few years about, boy, is it just more difficult for those guys to hold up? You know, it used to be we'd had conversations about small pitchers. It's why you haven't seen a ton of small pitchers through the years, because the perception in front offices, those guys don't last as long. And that's the conversation among folks in front offices about really big guys.
Hey, Buster, they just had Aaron's injury history.
ESPN Plus had a graphic up.
It looks like that of a football player. It looks like his injury report looks like a contact sport injury report. Is it any consideration of maybe just moving him to first base to make sure that he's available, or is he just going to be a DH for the rest of his life?
No, I think that, I mean, let's face it, he's had some of those injuries have happened when he's been in the batter's box. And the fact that, I mean, I'm sure you guys saw the clip last week when our Marley Rivera asked Aaron Boone the question, is Aaron Judge healthy? And Aaron paused and paused and paused and paused before he answered the question.
He said it's a good question. He didn't have an answer, right?
And he didn't have the answer. I tell you what, it tells you everything you need to know how internally the Yankees are really sensitive to this topic. And boy, I mean, they know it. Everybody knows it. And for Aaron Judge in his career, in terms of whether or not he's going to join these guys getting $300 million deals, he's got to show he can stay on the field.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott talking to Buster only on the Goodyear Hotline. So, all right, I love it when you always bet the family farm. So we'll get off this topic with the bet the family farm thing. In 3 years, will Aaron Judge bet the family farm on one of these? Will be in right field still as a regular right fielder or a DH as a regular DH?
Wow. I think he'll still be in right field, but I'm not ready to bet the family farm on it.
Fair enough.
The family, that's a really personal thing. We got some great Jersey cows. I'm not going to put them up unless I'm sure.
I love the answer. Let me ask you this. So should we start believing in Mike Trout and the Angels finally to maybe be
Absolutely.
That team that can get there and put Mike Trout on that platform that the sport so desperately needs to put him on, which would be the playoffs and a legit playoff run?
100%. And look, part of the context for that is the fact that the American League is kind of down. And, you know, even the best teams, the teams perceived to be the top, maybe aren't as great as they are in the National League. The American League West has taken a step back, and the Angels are better. Perry Manassian came in, took over as general manager. He spent so many resources to make the team better just for this year. And I know there are other executives, look, when you work for Artie Moreno, the Angels owner, don't worry about the future. Just try to win now because they've been so frustrated, you know, between Rendon and Trout, and Ohtani looks phenomenal, David Fletcher. That is a really deep lineup, and their starting pitching is better than it has been in recent years. And Trout, it's amazing. It's like you look at his career and his ability to improve. It's like the side of a pyramid. It's straight uphill. He's off to the best start of his career. And I was looking at this morning, guys. Henry Aaron, through his age 29 season, had 342 home runs and finished with 755. Hmm. Trout is very Aaron-like in his consistency. He's got 306 homers already, and he's at the outset of his age 29 season. He may be beyond Aaron by the end of the year.
Wow.
Hey, Buster, we've been talking about baseball for some not-so-flattering reasons, right? We talk about the Conforto hit-by-pitch, the walk-off. And, you know, I guess the Mets have been an embarrassment so far. You think about
the Phillies' Braves ending, too, at home plate.
Yeah, and you got the rain delay, the Dopplers. who has the Doppler on? Which version are they using? But we're talking about baseball. Is this good for baseball, the fact that we've had these mishaps early on? And, you know, is it just a part of the game, the human element of it, the human error element of it? Is it good for baseball? Or should we go to maybe more animated strike zones and bring more technology in?
Bart, it's a part of the game. Look, I mean, calls are going to be missed all the time. You know, that's just the nature of any sport. You watch NFL, you watch NBA, you watch Major League Baseball, you're going to have mistakes made. What I thought was really bad about Sunday night was the fact that in the aftermath, Major League Baseball did not put out a statement saying, you know what, we blew it. Mm. Instead, they seem to be standing on this thing of, you know what, forget everything you guys just saw.
Yeah.
Forgot all the evidence. This is what our people say. It was ridiculous. Because anybody, and you guys saw Mike Trout tweet out about it. You saw Justin Turner, the Dodgers, tweet out about it. You saw the Braves, like, I was doing a game on Sunday night. Yep. I was in the third base photo well, and Will Smith is screaming at the umpire saying, awful, yep. Awful, because everybody saw what happened. And even after replay, what's being insisted upon effectively by Major League Baseball is there's no evidence that Alec Boehm didn't touch home plate. Oh, give me a break. And I think they have to change that mentality. And I think that it only adds the integrity of the whole system if when there's a mistake, and there are going to be mistakes, you admit it and move on.
Yeah, it was so bizarre, all of it. And the fact that it was on Sunday Night Baseball, the fact that you were literally right there and you were giving that account of what the players were saying, I found that was such a compelling thing. And I guess as a guy from the NBA who it's all about drama and that stuff, I was like, man, this is great. You know, even though if you're a Phillies fan or, you know, if you're a Braves fan, you're miserable, you're mad about it. And maybe if you're a baseball fan, you're embarrassed. I just thought as far as theater, it was fantastic for the first, you know, for an early Sunday Night Baseball event. But can I just ask you, though, when Darnold comes across the plate, isn't he not blocking it? Like, I know that's a gray area now, too, that you're not allowed to do that, but his shin guard comes across and doesn't let Boehm's foot get to home plate, or if he did graze it, as they said.
Well, actually, within the rules, if you have the ball in your possession, then you're allowed to do that as a catcher. Once you have the ball in your possession, what they won't let you do is to block home plate without the baseball in your hand.
Oh, so it's, all right, so you have to have the baseball.
You have to have the baseball, yep.
Okay.
And he did, and again, I was just astounded because you're looking at all these replays. Okay, did he touch home there? No, he didn't. Did he touch home from the left center field angle? No, he didn't. Every angle, he didn't touch home plate.
How do you get that wrong when you're 5 feet away? Like, we're watching the replay again. He's literally 5 feet away. Like, you're staring at the plate, and he was insistent
on
that call.
Well, I don't blame the umpire because it is a bang-bang call, and his foot did seem to sort of go over the airspace, but then Darnold blocked him and put him off that. And I got to tell you, you know, there's always been a perception among players, and I don't know if it's true or not, that the instinct of the replay officials, the replay umpires in Chelsea, is to protect their colleagues. They're not protecting them. Like, if they had just simply reversed the call, we wouldn't be talking about Lance Barrett anymore. Mm-hmm. They would have just reversed the call. They would have gotten it right. Just get the call right.
That's a great point. Do you have a thought on the Mets deciding to play in a downpour? And Luis Rojas saying that they had exclusive weather, what was it again? It was exclusive weather context, whatever it was.
We had meteorologists on yesterday.
We had Lee Goldberg on yesterday to tell us that he was down at the Masters in Augusta, and he's like, "Yeah, no, I was looking at the Doppler. They had no chance of playing that game. Like he was down in Augusta, and he knew that. Like it's. And I know we do this. Like Mets have a new owner. They want to have a new feeling about what they're doing. And there's Marcus Stroman after nine pitches just storming off the mound.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask about.
Well, I know you want to ask that, but let me just get Buster's take certainly on what happened with the Mets on Sunday.
Okay, so as part of my job as being the field reporter on Sunday Night Baseball, like I know all the groundskeepers well, and because a lot of times you have weather issues, and I, you know, we'll talk to the umpires about it, and so you get a sense of where teams have their sources, and it varies from team to team. The Yankees, one of the Yankees' biggest sources in making their decisions is Hal Steinbrenner, because he's a pilot, and so they'll reach out to him, and what do you see, and that's reliable. The Angels' big weather source is Mike Trout, who's this weather geek, but that seems to work for them. And so I don't know what the Met system is. I can tell you that in dealing with groundskeepers through the head groundskeepers and umpires through the years, it's incredible how specific their information is and how accurate it is. Whatever the Met system is, it's worth reassessing.
Okay, well, so let's further this. Stroman's all got his well, I won't say his panties in a bunch, but his briefs all in a bunch, right?
He already did it.
But tell me, how is he complaining about throwing nine pitches, and why would this stop him from being able to just start? Like,
that's what it is. It's explained, Buster, because Bart could not understand how if you just threw nine pitches, why can't you just throw tomorrow? Like, explain that for those who don't understand why he'd have to now have the 5 days off. Although
well,
now I think that's changed.
They adjusted his schedule, and he's going to come back. I mean, when I saw it, Marcus is, you know, the great thing about Marcus is that, man, he competes with his emotions on his sleeve. And so when I saw that, it was like, that's how he's feeling. He's frustrated. He's letting the world know, but I didn't think there was any chance he was going to wait 5 days. My goodness, every October we see this when we have weather issues or a starter's knocked out early where, you know, a guy starts on a Monday, doesn't throw that many pitches, and then he comes back on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Right.
And I thought that's exactly what was going to happen with Marcus, and that's exactly what has happened.
Right.
But that, I mean, Marcus competes with everything out front, and that's what, post on social media was about.
All right, last thing for you, Buster, is with the unrest in Minnesota. You saw a lot of cancellations or postponements yesterday in the different sports. The NBA pushing the Nets-Timberwolves games to this afternoon. Also, the Minnesota Wild and the Blues, the NHL, moving that game actually to May 12th. Twins and Red Sox series was held up. They'll do a doubleheader now tomorrow. They'll play today at 2 o'clock. In the baseball world, with this, as Bart was talking about at the beginning of the show, athletes are human too, and they're going to have a reaction. They're going to feel a certain way. What's the word through baseball another, obviously, incident involving a police shooting now has everybody in their emotions and trying to make sense of what is hard to make sense of?
I thought it was a great sign of progress for baseball. Look, in the aftermath of George Floyd's murder last year, the conversations were taking place on Zoom calls among players. And the best one I heard about was with the Dodgers, that Clayton Kershaw basically said, look, we're going to get on a Zoom call and we're going to listen to Mookie Betts about his experiences. And we're going to listen to George Lombard, who was a coach with the Dodgers at the time, about his experiences, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's pretty clear, based on everything that's happened since then, that that folks are listening and they're adapting. You know, the idea that 4 years ago, I mean, 40 years ago, 4 decades ago, that any team, you know, would see what Aaron Hicks made the decision on yesterday and say, you know, 40 years ago, the reaction would have been like, really? Mm-hmm. And now, instead, You have the organization completely backing him up. Aaron Boone being the person to go out and saying, you know what, it's a tough day for him, and that's the way it goes, and to treat all of these situations like they're human beings. And we see that every day in our respective jobs.
Right.
And why should professional sports be any different? So I think it's a sign of great progress.
Yeah, it certainly is. Awareness and sensitivity at a time like this is something that we all should certainly have, and it's a good example by baseball to lead that way. Buster, you know, it's always great to have you on. We appreciate you, and thanks for trying to keep up with Bart today, because I'm certainly hanging on by a thread.
Buster, we're going to have your theme music next time you come on. We're going to have your theme music ready for you. We got to bring in the showstopper the way he deserves to be brought in.
We will do that.
What
get
it
you
is,
a cape,
what it
too.
Is.
Hey, we're going to get you a cape, too, because you're the greatest entertainer there is in sports.
Great stuff. Thank you, Buster. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. That was Buster Olney giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. It is interesting, you know, what he said there about baseball, and it's really all of sports, and it's just take that, you know, just take that day. Just take that day.
Progress.
Having Mookie Best, having players like that, that's, you know, and Aaron Hicks, that hey, it's something we got to talk about.
Empathy.
You know, it's obviously in the NFL, in the NBA, there's a higher percentage of black players.
Right.
In the NHL, certainly a much lower percentage. In baseball, a much lower percentage. But those are sports that realize that even though there is a lower percentage, we still have players, and we still have to care about them and how they feel in a day like this where maybe they aren't sure. Like, I don't know if I could play today. There's a lot going on in my community that I got to think about. And so you just take that day.
Yeah, you have to think about the African-American players. It may affect them. But they need to have conversations with their children, because their children need answers as well about daddy, what's going on, and being concerned about what happens to them, you know, especially if you have older kids and you have to have that talk about what happens if you get pulled over, what the protocol should be for you. But a lot of people don't have to have those conversations.
They don't, but maybe they should.
Yeah, my son gets his license in a year. I mean, he gets his license. He just finished driver's training. Yeah. He turns 16 to 26. He may want a car. I need to have a real serious conversation about how he has to handle being stopped by the police.
Right.
And that's a real thing that concerns the African-American parents.
And I have to have a conversation with my son about understanding that when you come across somebody, you have friends of yours that are black, that you have to understand that they're going to feel a certain way and have a different perspective than you. And you can't look at them and say, well, you're wrong to think that way.
Yeah.
You can't say that. You got to listen.
Empathy.
You got to listen. You got to, empathy, sensitivity, but just listen. Just kind of get a feel for it, like, well, what's going on? Like, just try to understand people before you just tell them that they're wrong to feel a certain way. Well, why do you feel that way? I got to hear this and have that conversation. Just be more open minded about relationships you have with people, because while we all want to say we're all the same, we are different, but we have to understand those differences and try to embrace those differences. That part certainly is important. You know what else, too, as an athlete, I would imagine you'd want? Is, you know, again, if you're in the NHL or Major League Baseball and you're a black player and you know I'm a small percentage in this league, not like the other two leagues, I want to know what my teammates think.
Yeah.
Like we're teammates. We care about each other. We live together. Well, all right. When I'm dealing with something right now that something happened in the world that's affecting me a little different than it might be affecting you, how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
Because if you only care that I'm here to hit the ball out of the ballpark or make a play, but you don't care about what's going on in my life, then I don't know if I can trust you.
Yeah, that says we're associates.
Yeah.
You know, we're work
brothers.
Do
you really care about your teammates?
Exactly.
If you do, then if they say to you, you know what, I'm not feeling right today about this stuff. This stuff on the TV is bothering me.
Yeah.
And if you're like, oh, get over it. Just get out on the field. No. Well, what's bothering you? Like, let's get through this together, man.
You have teammates that are Patriots, right? Remember 9/11? Remember remember what happened? I forget the guy from Arizona. I'm sorry, I'm slipping my name right now. My name, Tillman, right? And you know, you have to be sensitive to it. It's so many different things that affect. Just think about Jason Collins coming out and the support that he needed from his teammates. That's our safe haven, man. When anything goes wrong, you know, we rally around each other to be sensitive to that person, because if one hurts, we all hurt.
Yeah, and just to get a better, like I said, get that understanding. Just get the understanding first before we're ready to just react and trigger and everything else. All right. Coming up, we have audio files, your calls as well at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to all that, but first, Bart has this from the Home Depot.
Waiting for spring is one thing. Waiting for spring savings is another. At Home Depot, you don't have to wait for either. The Home Depot best prices of the season are already here in-store, online, and store-wide. Get a 40-volt battery powered by Ryobi string trimmer for just $159. And more spring savings on everything from fresh paint to power blowers. You've waited long enough to bring on the spring and spring savings. Now at the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Valid through 4/18/21 while supplies last. Back after this, audio files. Best segment of the show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
It's a beautiful day out in New York City. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Resplendent Brooklyn Bridge in the background. We're here at Seaport. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It says it right there on the sign. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com.
Feels good outside. It's cold as hell in here.
I love it.
But you got it on Patrick Ewing?
It's crispy in
here.
Hi,
Ryan.
Even Patrick Ewing. Patrick Ewing's the only man that can sweat in here.
You did hi, Ryan.
I feel like Little Mac on Mike Tyson punch out of here with this little bitty hood I got. Jeez, I never thought I would utilize the hood.
You look like E.T. right now. I should get a bike and have you like... Is it really that cold in here? Like, yo, so when my son
goes, I'm African, man. I'm from the motherland, man. Ain't no snowballs in Africa.
Yo, yeah, but wait a minute. The whole idea is, though, see, I'm so warm blooded that I need it cold, right? So when my son was playing travel hockey and we would go on these trips all the time, we get into the hotel and the first thing we would both do is just crank it down to like 60, man. Like as low as it room could possibly be. Icebox.
Yeah, you couldn't be my roommate.
Sleep so well.
I used to hate that in college, man. You ever go with these dudes from Florida? They always turn the AC on, and then they wrap up like a cocoon in a blanket.
That's
like,
the best way to sleep.
What the hell are you doing?
Ambient sleep temperature is below 68
you're
degrees.
Telling me that you're cold. So why are you wrapping up like a cocoon?
Good.
No, it
crispy.
Doesn't. No, it doesn't. You know what
it
does?
You know what?
It gives
Bart
me,
Han,
it gives
what
me
is
a
the
sore,
ambient? What is your ambient sleep temperature?
It gives me Not a Bart sore Han. Throat because I'm sitting there, and I got my nose sticking out the blanket,
so
and
good.
That's what's getting all the cold air.
It's nice. You're wrapped up nice and tight. It's like crispy outside, but you're nice and warm. Body heat keeps you warm. And
keep me at 72 degrees.
You're out of your mind.
And
if you put this temperature at 72 degrees, I will put it back to 68, and I will break.
See,
you won't be able to change
it. That's crazy,
it.
Man.
I will smash
you really think you're
screen.
A sub-zero? You really think you're a sub-zero?
Yeah.
I know you got the little husky eyes and stuff like that, but
you
ain't no damn husky.
It's good for you to be cold. It's good. You sleep good that way, man.
No.
How could you possibly sleep at 72 degrees?
I'm African. What do you mean? I'm black.
So?
We like the heat. We grew up in the sun.
In a towel. You wrap up, and then you get in a towel. I said a towel.
So,
you wrap up in a blanket, and you get nice and warm. Body heat.
But you're cold, though, right? You're cold. That's why you wrap up in a blanket, right?
That's the whole idea.
So if you're cold,
you better wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
All right, B. Nah, man, it's cold as hell.
You need to try it. Can you try it?
I can cut glass.
Try it. Get back to me.
I can cut glass right now. How about that?
Try it and get back to me, though.
I've tried it. Because I had roommates from Florida that slept next to the thermostat, so they always drop it down. I had to go get me a damn electric blanket.
Yes. Sleep so well.
Jeez.
Hi, everybody. So let's get into, let's have some more fun as we get into audio files. I'm just going to use my remote here and just, you don't realize that I have the app.
Look at that.
I'm just going to crank that down a little bit more.
I have to put some tissue in my nose, man.
You know who else needs a tissue? Luka Doncic.
He's crying.
Like what I did there?
So wordplay is unbelievable.
Dallas Mavericks right now are 29-24, but they've lost two in a row. They're in seventh in the West. And Luka Doncic sees that in seventh in the West means doesn't guarantee a playoff spot. No. In today's NBA, in the new NBA this year, they did it in the bubble. It was a hit. They're going to do it again. 7 through 10 now is a play-in. So those who don't know the rules is how it works. 7 plays 8. The winner of that game gets the 7 seed. That would be, by the way, Mavericks Grizzlies right now. Interesting. Then 9 plays 10, and the winner of that plays the loser of 7-8. So if you're in 7-8, you have two chances to win one to get into the playoffs. But you still got to have that extra step. Luka Doncic don't like that.
Obviously, we're trying to get a sixth seed. I don't understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. But we're just trying here to get to the sixth spot, and I think that's our goal right now.
Well, they're two games back of the sixth spot. That's the Portland Trail Blazers. That's where they are right now. But Luka, just understand something. You don't play 72 games to get a playoff spot. You play 72 games to get the top 10. Then you have to play in if you aren't good enough to be in the top six. This, I like this.
Sounds
because,
like a you problem.
Well, yeah, it does sound like a Luka. You know what that, let me ask you this. If you were a teammate and you hear Luka say that, well, if you lose three in a row, your season's over. Well, if you lose three in a row in the first round, your season's pretty much over too.
Yeah, exactly. You don't deserve.
But he almost sounds like he's not confident in his team. Right. Like, you're telling me that, like, I don't care who we play. Put him in front of us. We got to beat him anyway. Who cares?
And all you have
he
to
sounds
do
like a guy that's not confident.
And all you have to do is win one if you're the seventh seed.
That's correct.
So first of all, get your ass out the basement. First of all, you got Porzingis. You're supposed to be a trans player.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're supposed to be one of those players.
Transcendent?
Yeah, transcendent player. Get your team shouldn't be in the basement. If you got you and you got the unicorn, you should be good. So that sounds like a you problem. Listen, I love the March Madness version of the NBA. I love that. Because now you have somebody that has, and they made it fair. They balanced it out because any team can get hot and beat a team once. Right, but if you're a team that's the lower seed, you got to win twice. So I think if you lose to a team that's below you twice, then you deserve to lose. Because in basketball, the better team is supposed to win. That's why it's different from the Super Bowl. It's different from these one game eliminations. So now you get the excitement, right? Because now we're going to pay attention to those games.
Absolutely.
Before we would just turn the channel. Like people don't even want to watch the opening round of the NBA because you already know who's going to win.
Top seeds usually just smoke the low seeds anyway.
Unless you're Mutombo. No.
Back not today.
That was 100 years ago, right? So I love the fact that we get to get that excitement of somebody getting upset because we all love the underdog. Mm-hmm. We just went through March Madness, and we
just
want
to see the desperation
that.
To get in the postseason. Exactly. What teams will do? They'll do anything just to make the postseason because that making the playoffs really matters. Yeah. Now, remember, if you don't, if you lose and you don't make the top eight, you become a lottery team. Mm. So at least you have that.
Exactly.
Which is nice. Now, Julian Edelman, as you remember the other day,
it was yesterday,
that the Patriots terminated his contract. This is part of an announcement. Yeah, this is part of an announcement that he made on social media.
Nothing in my career has ever come easy. And no surprise, this isn't going to be easy either. Now, I've always said, I'm going to go until the wheels come off. And they finally have fallen off. Due to an injury last year, I'll be making my official announcement of my retirement from football. It was a hard decision, but the right decision for me and my family.
So he retires.
So dramatic. Just walk. Just
no,
leave.
No, no. Come on. He played 12 years.
I didn't announce my retirement. I just left.
But you haven't officially announced anything, right? Did you even file?
I still got eligibility.
You do.
Hey, you never know. These guys are so dumb now. They might need. Remember that teacher that got called for the Super Bowl? He was teaching, and he needed somebody new to the system. Just waiting. You never know.
You never know. Well, look. Julian Edelman played 12 years with the Patriots.
That's true.
Turned 35. The chronic knee injury that he's been dealing with, that it finally, he succumbed to it. But think about this. 12 years with the Patriots. Second in NFL history with 118 postseason receptions. Only Jerry Rice has more. This is a guy that's won Super Bowls, made big plays in the Super Bowl.
Seventh round draft pick. He's a college quarterback. Who made the transition. Never played receiver, kind of one of those Patriot guys who embodied the Patriot way, and it's not just because he's white like Wes Welker, but, they have a knack for finding guys that are in different positions that can kind of figure things out.
Super Bowl MVP when they beat the Rams.
Yeah.
Had a fantastic game there. So, for him, he decided it's time to go. And really, when Tom Brady left,
well,
the Patriots, of a piece of Julian Edelman.
Well, the Patriots told him it was time to go, too, because when you saw all those receivers, that he was like, oh, we loading up. I was like, oh, yeah, they loading up. without you.
Yeah.
Well, and I told you guys that was coming. That was another tree. It's another tree that fell. But listen, he got three Super Bowls, man. He'll never have to work for anything.
No, that's it. No, good for him. Good for him and a great career for him. All right, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott.
Clam chowder for free.
Audio files. We are brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Last but not least, Giants fans. So this is an interesting one for you. And I kind of like this. So Mel Kiper's mock, what is this, 4.0 now? I keep running out of. You'll love who, by the way, he has the Jets taking in the second round, by the way. You'll be very excited about that. Another tree fell in the woods. Just so you know. So he has in this mock, as you know, a couple of trades, quarterbacks that are moving up and down, all that conversation about what's happening and the, you know, the Patriots trading up to 10 and they'll take Justin Fields. At number 11 is the New York Football Giants. And Mel Kiper has a pick for the Giants that I think if you're a Giants fan, you might really like this. Jalen Waddle, the wide receiver at Alabama, and another skill player to Danny Dimes in that offense.
He is a great punt returner, and he's a great receiver coming in off the anchor. You saw what he did in the championship game. He played limping around and caught three balls. This kid is a highly competitive, phenomenal player. There's comparisons out there to Tyreek Hill. So to me, I think you look at Jalen Waddle. If he's there at 11, I don't know how you pass him up. I know you brought in Kenny Golladay. Now you get another weapon for Daniel Jones in this year where it's his year to become what Josh Allen was in Buffalo. Get him the ultimate weapon that you need, or weapons you need, and hope that offensive line improves. Hope Saquon Barkley's back healthy. The key is going to be ultimately, though, the offensive line there with the Giants. So offensive linemen are tempting, but I just felt Jalen Waddle, you can make an argument, guys. He's a fifth best player in this draft, sixth best player, and that's what you kind of want when you're picking 11. You don't want to get the 11th best player. You want to get a guy in your top five, six, seven.
I mean, if they can get him at 11, that's pretty good.
He's better than Devontae Smith, too. Remember, he was the guy that was supposed to be the man, right? And he's a little bit more sturdy. You know, you talk about, listen, I was Devontae Smith's size when I was in fourth grade. You know, this dude's like 170 soaking
wet.
Yeah,
that's a little concerned.
And
he's
worried about his durability.
Right.
When you think about Waddle and also his ability to affect the game in special teams, you think about that. You think about Golladay. You think about Waddle. You think about Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard, and Ingram. Man, if you can't succeed with that, arguably you can say that those weapons are more explosive and better than the weapons that they have in Dallas. Mm. And then if Gettleman really wants to be a G, he'll take that next year's first-round draft pick and call the Baltimore Ravens and get Orlando Brown and put Orlando Brown on the other side, on the left side, and put Andrews on the right side. And now Danny Dimes doesn't have an excuse in the world. And I'll put Solder at guard where he can be protected.
Yeah, that offensive line.
I just helped the Giants. What the hell am I doing? Must be the energy drink.
You're being helpful, no doubt about that. That's Audio Files. All right, so 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's time for you to be part of the conversation. Do you like Jalen Waddle to the Giants at 11? Do you like what Kiper has in his mock draft? And also, if you had to put your hard-earned money down, the family farm, as we asked, Buster only. Aaron Judge, in 3 years from now, is he still a regular right fielder or is he a regular DH? That is the question. We'll finish with calls. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
You will be there every little step I make. We'll be together.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, brought to you by Mortal Kombat. See it in theaters. HBO Max as well, April 23rd, rated R.
Finish him.
Flawless victory.
You missed quit any? Crying, Mavericks. Jeez.
Yeah,
now
Mark
you got
Cuban.
The owner crying.
Mark
wham,
Cuban
wham,
saying it was
wham.
A mistake, too, so more to discuss on that. And if you missed any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast available wherever you listen to your podcast. Bart, just so you know, on the Twitter feed, at Bart and Hahn, some reaction to our temperature argument.
Yes.
Danny said the best sleep temperature is the lowest my AC can go. Correct, Danny?
Go sleep Whitewater outside in the damn winter. Go sleep in a damn tent outside then. Go do that.
Whitewater Life says, I need to hang meat in the hotel room, meaning it has to be that cold, like a meat locker. I love it. Furious Styles, the ambient temp for the house is definitely 68 degrees. Thank you.
This ain't 68.
How about Marco? Marco said
66.
Yeah, I just lowered it. Didn't you see me take the app? I lowered it. Marco said I need it at 58 degrees and sleeping with just my briefs. Marco's a polar bear.
You're going to wake up with a damn chest
cold. Scott, how about this one? I sell mattresses for a living and trained in sleep science. 62 to 68 degrees is best range for the best sleep.
You want to know why?
Lots of science to back this up, Bart Scott.
Yeah. You want
to
know why? Because you're going into hibernation mode or semi-coma. I don't want to practice being in a damn coma. I want to feel real alive.
That feels good, man. Hey, it's Barton Hahn. We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Try to reach over and touch her at 65 degrees. Touch your wife, and you got frostbite on your hands. You ain't getting no action, Captain.
Well, you keep the blankets on and keep it warm inside. You can't go outside.
What's the damn point? What's the point?
Jordan said he's a Florida boy, so it's got to be at least 65 degrees. Wrap yourself all like a burrito.
All them do that. All my Florida teammates was exactly like that. That's why you never room me with a Florida guy.
I'm so feeling that. That is just absolutely great.
Why don't you just open a window? Just open a window then.
Let's take, let's see. What do we want to take you?
What's caller time?
Go NBA or NFL. Go. Pick
NBA,
one.
NBA.
NBA? NBA? All right, Joe's in Jupiter. Joe.
What's up, guys? I'd love to talk my Dallas Cowboys, but Bart, I'll call you and bother you about them on another day because you really touched a topic that's sore to me about the Mavericks. I'm a bit diehard Cowboy fan Mavericks fan as well for 30 plus years.
Okay.
And like you said, it's our fault that we're still in the seventh seed. We've lost two games the past two or three weeks. One to Houston, who lost like 50 in a row, and Rick Carlisle chose to sit both of our stars, and the Unicorn has to take every other night off. He's not 36, he's 26.
Yeah.
And he's not even hurt.
It's a lot to be said about the Unicorn and Aaron Judge. Guys that are doing things that are too
big.
But
you know what I have a bigger issue with though? Like with your team, Joe? Why are they 13 and why are they don't win at home? They're a better road team than they are a home team. Like what's that all about?
Well, from what I hear, the biggest fan last night was Cuban sitting there in the second or third row. I don't know this, but fans might have something to do with it. Luke is fantastic. Maybe they just assume they're going to get the seventh seed, or maybe they just know even if they do get the seventh seed, they
can't.
They
need another
star. They're not big enough. They don't have enough bigs for those big, strong wing defenders. They just don't have enough of them right now.
You know what, John, I appreciate your frustration. I mean, like, Luke is great, but is that a team? Like, you're wondering, like, how, like, really, what are they? They might be a seventh seed. Even if they got the seventh seed, they'd be playing the Phoenix Suns, who right now they're playing lights out. Like, they're really good.
It's starting to be a buzz a little bit. Okay, Charles Barkley said that maybe Chris Paul should get some MVP consideration.
That's a little strong.
About what he does as far as improving everybody on the team.
And that's a little strong.
So Devin Booker is also taking a step. Is it still in beats?
He looks great coming back. Now, right.
36 last
he might,
night.
He might can make the claim now. He can make it.
He can make the claim tomorrow when they play the Nets.
We got to talk about that game.
Ooh!
Because the Nets do have to play today. Now it suddenly becomes a back-to-back. Play the Sixers, important game.
Is Kyrie still sage?
Will Kyrie be there?
Does he have the pink courts?
We'll see, man. We'll see. All right, Bart, tell you what. I'll see you tomorrow.
I'm about to go somewhere where it's hot. African.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.